Crime and Punishment, Volume 2, by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Part 4, Chapter 1. Can this be still a dream? Raskolnikov thought once more. He looked carefully and suspiciously at the unexpected visitor. Svidrigaïlov, what nonsense! It can't be, he said at last aloud in bewilderment. His visitor did not seem at all surprised at this exclamation. I've come to you for two reasons. In the first place, I wanted to make your personal acquaintance, as I have already heard a great deal about you that is interesting and flattering. Secondly, I cherish the hope that you may not refuse to assist me in a matter directly concerning the welfare of your sister, Avdotya Romanovna. For without your support, she might not let me come near her now, for she is prejudiced against me, but with your assistance I reckon on. You reckon wrongly, interrupted Raskolnikov. They only arrived yesterday, may I ask you? Raskolnikov made no reply. It was yesterday, I know. I only arrived myself the day before. Well, let me tell you this, Rodion Romanovich, I don't consider it necessary to justify myself, but kindly tell me what was there particularly criminal on my part in all this business, speaking without prejudice, with common sense. Raskolnikov continued to look at him in silence. That in my own house I persecuted a defenseless girl and insulted her with my infamous proposals, is that it? I am anticipating you. But you've only to assume that I, too, am a man et nihil humanum. In a word, that I am capable of being attracted and falling in love, which does not depend on our will. Then everything can be explained in the most natural manner. The question is, am I a monster, or am I myself a victim? And what if I am a victim? In proposing to the object of my passion to elope with me to America or Switzerland, I may have cherished the deepest respect for her, and may have thought that I was promoting our mutual happiness. Reason is the slave of passion, you know, why probably I was doing more harm to myself than anyone. But that's not the point, Raskolnikov interrupted with disgust. It's simply that whether you are right or wrong, we dislike you. We don't want to have anything to do with you. We show you the door. Go out. Svidrigaïlov broke into a sudden laugh. But there's no getting round you, he said, laughing in the frankest way. I hoped to get round you, but you took up the right line at once. But you are trying to get round me still. What of it? What of it? Cried Svidrigaïlov, laughing openly. But this is what the French call bonne guerre, and the most innocent form of deception. But still you have interrupted me. One way or another, I repeat again, there would never have been any unpleasantness except for what happened in the garden. Marfa Petrovna. You have got rid of Marfa Petrovna, too, so they say? Raskolnikov interrupted rudely. Oh, you've heard that, too, then? You'd be sure to, though. But as for your question, I really don't know what to say, though my own conscience is quite at rest on that score. Don't suppose that I am in any apprehension about it. All was regular and in order. The medical inquiry diagnosed apoplexy, due to bathing immediately after a heavy dinner and a bottle of wine, and indeed it could have proved nothing else. But I'll tell you what I have been thinking to myself of late, on my way here in the train, especially. Didn't I contribute to all that calamity, morally in a way, by irritation or something of the sort? But I came to the conclusion that that, too, was quite out of the question. Raskolnikov laughed. I wonder you trouble yourself about it. But what are you laughing at? Only consider, I struck her just twice with a switch. There were no marks even. Don't regard me as a cynic, please. I am perfectly aware how atrocious it was of me and all that. But I know for certain, too, that Marfa Petrovna was very likely pleased at my, so to say, warmth. The story of your sister had been wrung out to the last drop. For the last 3 days Marfa Petrovna had been forced to sit at home. She had nothing to show herself with in the town. Besides, she had bored them so with that letter. You heard about her reading the letter. And all of a sudden those two switches fell from heaven. Her first act was to order the carriage to be got out. Not to speak of the fact that there are cases when women are very, very glad to be insulted in spite of all their show of indignation. There are instances of it with everyone, human beings in general, indeed. Greatly love to be insulted, have you noticed that? But it's particularly so with women. One might even say it's their only amusement. At one time Raskolnikov thought of getting up and walking out, and so finishing the interview. But some curiosity, and even a sort of prudence, made him linger for a moment. You are fond of fighting? He asked carelessly. No, not very, Svidrigaïlov answered calmly. And Marfa Petrovna and I scarcely ever fought. We lived very harmoniously, and she was always pleased with me. I only used the whip twice in all our 7 years, not counting a third occasion of a very ambiguous character. The first time, 2 months after our marriage, immediately after we arrived in the country, and the last time was that of which we are speaking. Did you suppose I was such a monster, such a reactionary, such a slave driver? Ha ha! By the way, do you remember Rodion Romanovich, how a few years ago, in those days of beneficent publicity, a nobleman, I've forgotten his name, was put to shame everywhere, in all the papers, for having thrashed a German woman in the railway train?